Thanks, David. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's the Friday version of this program, the one you're listening to right now. How can you reach us, you ask? Well, 312-981-7200 is the way I do it. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Bill. You didn't say it. It's the best day ever invented.
Today, Friday, the best day ever invented.
It totally is.
It really is. Thanks to all inventors of days for coming up with Friday. We like it.
Who invented a Friday?
Don't know. Very hush-hush.
Wasn't Friday an assistant to someone?
Robinson Crusoe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
His man Friday, yes.
Well, then let's give him credit.
Yeah, right. I'll throw it on him.
I am already tired, and the day has just begun.
I was just going to say we're only a few minutes in.
We just had a very busy day yesterday. We did a radio show, you and I.
That'll get the sympathy of everybody. All you coal miners who are listening.
All right.
So we did a radio show, so stop complaining.
Then we went on the stream for an hour.
Yeah.
I had to deal with you and your new iPhone. You're having so much fun with it.
I'm not, but thanks.
We had an interview with a religious man after our show yesterday. Christian Kuhn.
You made it sound way more mysterious than it actually is.
He does a podcast, and he interviewed us about failure. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling kind of guilty he chose us.
Makes sense.
Then I had parents' night at the high school last night. It's so weird that school just starts, and then you have, like, conference.
Well,
it's not conferences. I shouldn't say that. It's like an open house.
Here's our game plan for your children. I liked it. I always liked those.
I was late to every class. It's a big high school.
Uh-huh.
I sat in the wrong math class for a couple of minutes, and it was the wrong math class.
Almost mirrored your own scholastic experience, didn't it?
Because freshman year, you never know where you're going.
Right.
But I've been to this school before with Michael. I should have known it. So I'm sitting in first period, and this teacher, Chris Thomas, teaches intro to radio and TV, and Dylan is taking that class. So here's me sitting in the front row. I know Chris Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the parents come in, and I want to share with you what he did. He introduced the class, explained what they were going to do, and then he played some audio of someone in radio and said, "Who is this voice?" And you listen to it, and right away, all the parents are nodding their heads going, "It's Larry Lujack," you know, legendary Larry Lujack. Then he goes, "I'm going to do it again." And he plays this audio of another voice, and right away, all the parents are like, "It's Wolfman Jack. How could you not know that?"
But the kids at this point aren't
Well, the kids weren't there. This was just the parents.
Only parents? Okay.
But I guess he did this for the kids. So he plays voice number three.
Yeah.
And I know voices. I'm looking around at other parents like, I don't know. Do you know who this is?
Yeah.
And no one knows who it is. None of the parents.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Seacrest.
But the did the kids get that one?
Well, again, kids weren't there last night.
No, but when he played it for them
prior. Yes, and that's what his point was. Everybody has this legendary radio person that they know. And it was disgusting that kids today know who Ryan Seacrest is.
But not Wolfman Jack or Larry Lujack.
Doesn't that make you sad?
Yeah, it does.
And are you proud of me for not knowing Ryan Seacrest's voice?
Actually, in the back of my head, all during the story, I'm like, please don't know who he is. And I'm glad you didn't know who Ryan Seacrest is.
I had no idea. And I raised my hand like, why is he part of this?
But why? Ryan Seacrest has the same radio voice that he does when he's hosting any shows.
Do you think I've watched any of his shows?
You never saw him on American Idol?
I've boycotted
with
him.
Kelly, yeah. But he's one of those guys that even if you try to boycott, he permeates. He's just always there.
I won't let him.
Really? Sometimes our TV at home will turn itself on and he'll just be on and I'll go, I didn't turn this on. Why is Ryan Seacrest on my TV? He just has that much power now.
I don't like him, and I couldn't believe he was in the company of those two legendary greats. But the point being, you know, kids today have someone that they listen to that is legendary to them.
All right, so point well taken from the teacher, but now here's the question. Will any time be devoted during this class for these high school kids to Ryan Seacrest?
No.
Or was that just a one-time only?
This was just an introduction
to
radio. Yeah. They did it the first day. And then another thing I thought was pretty exciting is they were going through all the things they're going to do. It's radio and TV. So really, this is going to be an easy class because they're going to like watch movies and TV shows and talk about them and listen to the radio and be on the radio. And then he one of the subjects that Chris Thomas is going to cover is the marketing end of radio and what it does. So they said, how many of you kids, this was not last night, this was in their class, how many of you kids know the jingle to Luna?
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids went 773.
Sure, of course. 212.
Luna. Yeah. And then he's like, why do you guys know that? You don't have an apartment. You don't have a house. You don't need carpeting or hardwood. Why do you know that? And that was his demonstration of.
Oh, this guy's good. He should be a lawyer.
I want to like be in the class. But I did volunteer myself to speak at the class. So one morning before this show, I got to
head
over
there. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. When I was taking film classes at Columbia, we had certain classes that were devoted to what you would consider to be classic films. And they would not just show them, but they would stop them. Like they would show scenes and they would stop them and we would analyze, you know, why that scene was there in that part of the movie and why the character did this and why. Okay. So one of the films, and rightfully so, that we saw was Citizen Kane. And we spent 4 weeks or 5 weeks, I don't remember, just kind of not only seeing it, but analyzing it, you know, stopping it and saying, okay, Charles Foster Kane at this point, there's a turning point in his life and all like that. So at the beginning, when the teacher was explaining to us, when the professor, I'm sorry, was explaining to us the films we'd be seeing. Now, these are all mostly film majors, and then movies like Citizen Kane are mentioned, and you had kids that were like, just like, Citizen what? And it was weird that kids hadn't seen it, but had never even heard of it.
And that was their major.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on. Yeah. They should change majors.
That's why when one of my daughters decided she wants to be a writer and she wants to write movies, she hadn't seen The Godfather, and I said, Kylie, if I was hiring somebody for something in the movie world and you came in and told me that, I would just cross your name off the list. I wouldn't hire you based on the fact that you hadn't seen The Godfather.
Did she make it through the whole thing? Because I know you started watching with her,
she
and you were stopping it like your professor was to explain things.
I think I ruined it for her because the Godfather complete epic that they showed on HBO, which is the Godfather 1 and 2 in chronological order, it's long to begin with. It's 7 hours. But then with me there pointing out little fun facts, it made it a much, much, much longer experience. And she just wouldn't sit for it. She goes, I can't. She goes, I get it. Those are bad guys and they're killing people. I understand
that. They like pasta.
Right. They enjoy pasta quite a bit. I see the guy from Barney Miller is in there. He's their friend. That's fun.
The Great Ape Vagoda.
Yeah. But I'm explaining to her, like, at that point, this was the first Marlon Brando movie she had ever seen. And she said at some point, we're watching it, and she goes, I can't understand half of what this guy's saying. And I go, no, it's on purpose. He's the character. He speaks that way. She goes, well, he should enunciate because the mafia people aren't going to know. Do we kill him? Do we give him a raise?
You need to be ambiguous.
Right. Right. Right.
Another thing this Chris Thomas did in his radio class with the kids, he told us about, you know, the curriculum. He played an episode of The Shadow.
Oh, excellent.
And he made them draw a picture of what they thought the shadow was and explained that before all the handheld gadgets, there weren't those. There weren't television. You literally stared at your radio and listened to a radio drama.
Right.
So he said, you know, everybody's vision of the shadow was a little different, but I thought, I want to be in this class.
See, the beauty of stuff like that is if you're exposing kids, high school kids, to stuff like The Shadow, so that they're probably 13 or 14,
yep.
Right? All right. So the point that needs to be made there is you were forced to use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that kind of has slipped away now. You don't have to use your imagination. There's stuff that provides imagination for you. But it's missing, and it's too bad that it's missing.
It is too bad, because then Dylan explained to me, Mom, you know they've made a video game of The Shadow. I said, really? Did you bring that up in class? He goes, nope.
Nope. Keep that to yourself. That's the way to do it. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? We do. Bill and Wendy, we'll be back in just a minute. It's WGN.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about the legendary Larry Lujack and Wolfman Jack. Someone has texted us and said, I'm 38 and I don't know Wolfman or Larry, whomever. Come on, man.
All right. I'm trying to think what the cutoff would be where you would definitely know not just the names, but exactly who those guys are. So Larry would, of course, been a local legend, Wolfman Jack more a national legend. But I would think somebody in that age range, 38, would have at least heard of them, if not know their background a little bit.
What about Captain Whammo?
That's a more obscure one. I mean, I know it because I'm in radio, but I bet for like a 38-year-old, I would think would not know Captain Whammo.
Dr. Demento?
Dr. Demento, possibly, although, again, that's more of a cult following.
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
So that's kind of tough.
Someone does not want to watch a movie with you because, you know, stopping it.
All right. For the record, I never do that. Because I don't talk during a movie. Like, if there could be a fire in my living room, and I wouldn't even tell the people in my living room to get out. There's a fire. I'm so good during a movie. But The Godfather is a different kind of animal, and I needed. There were certain things I needed to share with her. I thought, but I think I ruined it. But then, the beauty of this was my other daughter Reese all of a sudden became interested, and she came and watched it and loved it, which I would have thought would have been the other way around.
But see, they're so different that, you know, it seems to me that Reese would want an explanation of some
right.
of the things.
Well, she is also in organized crime. You know that. So there's...
Not for air, I thought.
Oh, not for air? Okay.
I would actually like to watch it with you because I've seen it so many times that I would like to hear the little ins and outs of The Godfather because you are
yeah.
King Trivia.
I pride myself. I mean, that movie is such a magical movie anyway, and I've seen it so many times, and there are little things, because I've read books about it, that I thought, this will enhance the viewing experience for her. But in retrospect, I really made a huge mistake, because she lost interest about 45 minutes or an hour in.
Would you think her reaction would be any different had you shown them in the order in which we saw them?
I thought it would be better for her to see it in chronological order. You know, Godfather 2, for people, I'm hoping everyone has seen it by now. But
everyone but your daughter, Kylie.
I think that's true. I do think that's true. You know, in Godfather 2, they kind of tell two stories simultaneously, the early days of Vito Corleone and then what happens after there is no more Vito Corleone. And they do it masterfully, but I like the version where it's told in chronological order, and I thought this will make it more palatable, but it didn't do it for her.
If you all of a sudden had a kid right now and it was a
right
boy.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing them Star Wars, would you show them in chronological order now that we have them, or the order in which they came out?
I would show them the first three that were made.
In the order.
A New Hope, yeah. Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And then when he wanted to see more, I would say they didn't make any more. They just made those three.
You're a mean man.
And then I would show him The Godfather, the slow version.
Talk through the whole thing.
Where I explain that James Caan, who is Sonny Corleone, and Lando Calrissian, who's Billy Dee Williams, got together to make Brian's song. So I would tie it all together for him.
All right, Godfather talk.
Yes. Could you tell me the real name of the Godfather when he in Italy?
Yes, Vito Andolini.
I thought I had you.
No, Wally. Wally, thanks for trying.
Do you have another one you can try and stump him? Because he really knows everything about this movie.
That was my secret.
That's a tough one. As a small boy, he was Vito Andolini. And then he came from a certain region of Italy, Corleone, so he changed his name to that.
Right.
Yep.
Any other questions?
Wally, do you want to come over and watch it with me? I'll watch it after the show with you if you want to come by.
No problem at all.
All right.
Wally, I love how you said it.
I went to the Chicago Theater when it came out.
Oh, I'm so sad. I've never seen it on the big screen. I've only seen it on home video.
Didn't
or
they
on
re-release
HBO.
It at some point?
Yeah, they did all that BS with it. But I seen it when it first came out.
And didn't you know, like from the very beginning when you saw it, didn't you say, this is one for the ages. This is just a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah. My cousin and I were both, you know, nudging each other about because of the neighborhood that we came from, you know, an Italian neighborhood. So
yep.
I knew you were Italian because you said Italy like my grandmother used to say, Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a short story? My grandma and grandpa came from Italy, and we used to play between the houses in the city. Well, Grandpa worked midnights, and I was a little kid, maybe 5-6 years old, and we're making noise. We woke up Grandpa, and he's swearing in Italian out the bedroom window to shut up and get away. Well, we left, and then you come back playing. Well, he gets up out of bed, and he's coming down the porch swearing at us, and my grandma's in back of him hitting him with the broom. She got the rosary in one hand, the broom in the other hand, but she's hitting him with the straw under the broom.
Oh, no.
Thou shalt not beat your husband on the Sabbath day, I think.
Not between houses.
Yes.
Never between houses.
Wally, thank you for sharing that. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good weekend, Wally. Thanks.
All right, one more. Just sure. I try to stump you because it's fun for me.
Right.
Hi, Darren. You have a Godfather trivia question for Bill?
Well, it's not really a trivia question. It's an observation. Bill.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, when, well, you know, like, Luca gets killed and he's, like, sleeping with the fishes,
Luca
right?
Brasi sleeps
Spoiler
with the fishes.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Sorry. If there's any fish listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Ironically, like, Abe Vigoda, who's Tessio, became fish. So it all ties in.
No, but when he walks in the bar initially before he gets killed, when he closes the window, they have a scene, and the window is all filled with fishes.
Oh, really?
That's right. Yeah, check it out next time. I saw it. I was like, whoa.
Wow, some good foreshadowing there. Well, excellent. Thanks for the information.
Yeah, and I love you guys, too.
Oh, thank you very much. Take care, Darren.
Thank you.
Bye.
I know we got to go, but I want to stump you. I don't know why. Hi, Don. What's going on, Don? Oh, come on, Don. You have a question for Bill, don't you?
He's just... Yeah. Oh, there you are.
Hey.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, what did Fredo do that he got bumped out, made Michael mad?
Well, he betrayed the family. He made some deals.
You don't do that.
You don't make Michael mad. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. But what did he exactly do?
Well, he had business dealings in Las Vegas that Michael was not comfortable with.
Yeah.
And he lied, too, didn't he?
Sure, yeah. Come watch it with me. Come to the house. We're doing a showing at 2 o'clock today.
All right.
All right, we'll see you there.
All right, thanks. All right, I'm sorry. I thought
Wouldn't it be
was
funny if
question.
I came home and there were like 80 people in my living room waiting to see the movie?
Let me
I
know.
Would love it.
Would you make some popcorn
Yeah,
for
we'd
them?
Have popcorn.
Will you have dots and snow caps?
Yeah. Cannoli? All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, David. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to contribute to the show in any way, good or bad, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. You know what I forgot to tell you? Last night during the Cubs game, as the Cubs thumped the Pittsburgh Pirates, I know you're a White Sox fan, so I don't know how you'll feel about this, but during one of the commercials there on the Cubs game, it's the voice of you.
It's the least I can do.
Good
that
hit.
Commercial's
good
everywhere.
Hit.
Everywhere.
Drive Time Chicago?
Yeah, drivechicago.com.
Drivechicago.com.
Drive Time.
What is Drive Time Chicago?
That's Justin Kaufman.
Oh, is that what that is?
Well, afternoon drive would be row.
All right. As soon as the show's over, I just go in a closet and I don't come out until the next day. So I have no idea what else is going on. But during the Cubs game, there was your voice cheering on the Cubs.
No, it was not cheering on the Cubs, but I don't wish them ill will.
You know what? Here's a weird coincidence. The Cubs were not doing well, and then they played your commercial, and then all of a sudden... They're hitting balls all over the place. So I think you inspire
That's
them.
That's what I do. I'm a motivational...
Yeah, speaker.
Sort of.
All right, let's talk hurricane for just a little bit. A couple of interesting stories, or ones that I find interesting anyway. I hope you do too. First of all week long, Rush Limbaugh, who's a...
A windbag.
A windbag, yeah, I couldn't think of the word. He'd be a windbag. Ironically, talking about a bigger windbag, or an equally sized windbag, Hurricane Irma.
He's still bigger.
So... So he all week has been explaining to his listeners that this hurricane and other hurricanes are a media conspiracy to get people to buy batteries and bottled water.
That's just the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
Right, because there's footage of them. It's not
yeah,
a
but everybody buys batteries and water.
But he's saying, he said words to the effect of, every time you turn on a TV or a radio, you have some announcer saying, oh, the hurricane's coming and it's going to be bad. You better get to the store and buy yourself some batteries and some water. So he says there's some sort of a conspiracy. And if there was, he would be in on it because he's, you know, he always talks about the mainstream media, but he is the mainstream media, right?
And I have to tell you, if there's a big storm a-coming here,
yeah.
I will go to the store and get bread, milk, beer, of
the
course.
Essentials.
And, you know, if I don't, we always have batteries in our house. So if we didn't and there was a storm brewing, I would definitely get some bottled water and batteries.
Right.
I really would.
We also have batteries in our house, but we always have the wrong size batteries. I don't know why, but we have, if you need a 9-volt battery, Wendy, I've got thousands of them at my house.
They're good for the smoke detectors.
Okay, so we have that, and we have a lot of single A batteries, and I don't know what
single
takes.
Single A, there
I have
is no single A.
No idea what takes single A, but I've got a bunch.
There isn't a single A.
We bought the market. We no, we have
there's double
the
A, and those are the bigger ones, and triple A, which fit a lot of the remotes. There is no A.
We bought them. I got them.
Where?
If you need them, I got them online.
You're the guy who shops at that Batteries and More Star?
Single A, MCO. That's the website.
There is no single A, unless I'm completely wrong.
You're wrong, because I got thousands of them.
D D's are the ginormous round ones. Then C's are a little smaller.
Clean it up. There's kids listening, Wendy. Please.
There is no single A.
I got a couple. I'll sell them to you. If you want them, they're yours. So now listen to this twist. You want a twist on the Rush Limbaugh story? All right. So all week long, he's explaining to his listeners, don't panic. This is just a media conspiracy. Like everything else, it's the media telling you things that aren't true. There's no big storm coming. You don't need batteries. You don't need water. Well, guess what he did yesterday? He evacuated his Florida home.
But it's, if it's a conspiracy.
Exactly.
Why does he need to leave?
Exactly. How disturbing is that? How disturbing is that? All right. Also, since we're talking about the hurricane, Kirk Cameron's voice has now been heard about the hurricane. He, I'm trying to think of who it was earlier in the week who said this, but he is now mirroring the same sentiments. He's saying that the hurricanes have been sent by God for humility and for awe and repentance. So his stance is that we, the people of Earth, have been so bad lately that God has struck upon us these hurricanes.
Jim Baker said that too.
Baker
was the other guy.
It was Jim Baker, televangelist Jim Baker.
You know, God doesn't work like that.
Why would he? Why would he look at the planet and go, hey, bad people, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Take this.
And if that's the case, he should have done it years ago.
Well, he did. There was the Noah's Ark thing. That was in the paper. You saw that. Which also was meant to sell more batteries and bottled water. Come on, Noah. We're on to you.
Well, now Jose has just strengthened to a Category 4 hurricane, so that's right on Irma's heels.
Yeah.
This is scary, man.
Back to back. Bad storms. All right, now one more quick hurricane story. This is my favorite of all. This is from the Miami Herald. Listen to this story. It starts out crazy and it gets crazier. People in the path of Hurricane Irma feel helpless to stop the destruction that may be coming their way, but not everybody has given up. Over 54... Now, this is a real story, by the way. It was on the internet, so that proves it. Over 54,000 people have RSVP'd as going to a lighthearted Facebook event directing people to simultaneously turn on their fans to blow Hurricane Irma back out to sea.
So maybe God is punishing us.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. So here's what you have. Let me, a quick summation. You have a number of people, over 54,000 so far, who are going to show up to some place with fans and aim it at Hurricane Irma in hopes that they will make it go the other direction because of their fans. The event's time and location are still to be announced, the page says, depending on where the storm makes land in the continental U.S. Everyone takes their fans outside and points them at Hurricane Irma to blow it away from us, the description reads. Air compressors with a blowgun attachment are also a plus, or anything else. Get creative, says the ad.
I'm ashamed.
The event, I am too. The event was started by Facebook user Joshua Strandland, who, according to his profile, lives in Ruskin, Florida. Which
and
is on
sells
the West
fans.
It's a media conspiracy,
it
Wendy.
Is.
I'm out of batteries, except single A, and I have a lot of bottled water, but now I must get a fan. This is across the area of Tampa Bay. It's near St. Petersburg. The current path of Irma shows the storm tracking over nearly the entire state of Florida, with the eye most likely brushing off the East Coast. Will you be attending this event?
No.
You will
and
not.
I'm truly embarrassed.
Do you know they might close? I don't know. Maybe this has changed since the show started, but Disney World, which they just don't close, they were considering last night closing it. Now, here's something that's strange. In all the stories I read about that, they said that it has only been closed in the history of Disney World. So this is since the 1970s. It's been closed only four times. And that's because of hurricanes or expected hurricanes.
Or the gator accident. The little kid with the gator.
I don't think they closed
it. Yes, they did.
Did they close it for that?
They closed it for the rest of the day.
But they closed it for 9/11, too. But that's not mentioned in any of the stories. But I know they closed it for that. Because we were in Florida when that happened. Did they close it for the gator story? For that kid at the
was attacked.
Grand Floridian?
Of course they did.
I thought they just sectioned off that part of the hotel. I didn't think they closed the.
You know
the
what, guys? I actually was there at that time.
That's
they
right,
did,
you were.
They did not close it.
All
no,
right, sorry.
No,
the
Floridian. The Floridian was that beach
the Grand
area
Floridian,
was closed.
Yeah.
I was at the Polynesian at the time. Everything was rocking and rolling as normal.
I think you owe Ryan Byrne an apology.
I think you need to say his name right.
I'm too upset.
I just wanted to stop the spread of false news.
I'm glad you did. And I guess there is an A battery.
Yeah, I have them.
No one uses it for anything.
That was my point.
Well, don't buy them.
Battery. We have everyone has a battery drawer, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we go to that drawer and we open it up, and there's 9-volt batteries and 9 8-volt batteries, and then a bunch of A batteries. And we go, should we throw these away? And we don't know what they're for.
I don't even know where you get an A battery.
Ryborty drugs.
And if, you know, you mentioned this something about putting the batteries in a drawer.
Yes.
I have seen numerous Facebook posts and news stories. If they are out of the package and they're facing each other where the negative and positive touch, it can completely start a fire and explode and burn your house down.
Is that true, Ryan Burton? He quit. I don't blame him. Let's take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill
and
Wendy.
I'll find out this interview.
I find out that's true. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, you started talking about Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
And he said originally that God is mad at us for being a...
No.
Oh, I'm getting them all mixed
Rush
up.
Rush Limbaugh said
conspiracy.
These storms are a media conspiracy to make us buy more bottled water and batteries, that he will have none of this. This is all just the creation of the media to force you to buy batteries.
And the update on Rush?
He has just evacuated his Florida home.
Hmm.
As of yesterday.
All right. Well, Glenn wants to chime in on this. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Hi, Wendy, Bill. I love listening to your show, but this time I think you fell into the sucker hole.
Oh, I know
we
what you're going to say, but go ahead. Explain.
The concept is Rush has become borderline irrelevant to anybody who has an IQ above 16. And so to be able to get out on the news and have morning shows like you guys and afternoon shows to talk about him, he says just irreverent stuff. And then people go, I can't believe he said it. Now it's all over to Facebook. And now we have to think about the stupidity that comes out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth.
I know. Ann Coulter does the same. I mean, there's plenty of people who do the same
Why
thing.
Why don't we do that?
Sure.
One more little comment.
Yeah.
The people who are going down to the southern part of west of Florida with the electric fans.
Yes.
We should nickname them Irma chlorine, because if they go down there and get wiped out, they're going to be cleaning out the gene pool big time.
All right. I'll go along with that. I love that.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Have a great weekend.
All right, and we were talking about single-A batteries. I did some research. Joe, what are they used for?
It appears that they have been used for, you know, old tube-type radios. The single-A was used, I believe, for running the filament in a tube radio, and there was actually a B battery that was used for running the tubes, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
That's so, what we use them for, Wendy.
Okay, so our question, Joe, and you can jump in on this with me, why does Bill Leff currently have an A battery?
Because he shops at antique shops.
Right.
That's why.
I have them in case Thomas Alva Edison ever comes over. I want to show him that I have that ready.
They name the A battery after A from Alva.
I think maybe. It's possible.
All right, well, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
So am I the only one who goes through this? No matter what battery I have in my battery drawer, it's not the one I need. Like if it's a remote that burns out, I go, well, I'll just go and get a battery out of the battery drawer. It's always, always, always the wrong size. It's never the right size.
Where were we? Jimmy Mack was just somewhere, I think at Walgreens, and he said batteries are cheap. So he bought the AAA and the AA, so then they're in the battery drawer.
Yeah.
I need some 9 volts, though. I'll buy some
I'll help you with those. We'll do some barter.
All right.
We'll trade something.
All right. And I did mention about the 9-volt batteries causing house fires when left in a drawer, because I have seen it all over the place. So you know what we like to do is go to Snopes.com. That's what people should do to find out fake news and others. The rumor is improperly stored or discarded 9-volt batteries can touch off house fires. Snopes says it's partly true. This new email indicates 9-volt batteries may cause a fire if short-circuited. This seems plausible, except short-circuited two batteries fully charged together, and the batteries demonstrated a temperature rise barely sufficient to detect with a bare finger, let alone cause a fire.
What would it be? I don't know if they address this or if you'll just know this, but what would it be about the 9-volt that would make those different from other batteries touching?
Because they have the little, the things are exposed. The positive and negative are sticking up right next to each other, whereas on a regular battery, it's just a little nib.
Yeah.
It seems to be more covered.
So you're not getting enough juice through there? Is that what it is?
I guess.
All right.
If you are storing loose 9-volt or AA batteries in a kitchen drawer or junk drawer in your home, watch how you store them. Above all, don't store them loose and rolling around with metal, with other metal, glues, and more of the lovely things that we keep in our junk drawers. Which, think about it, what's in your junk drawer? Pens, paper clips, glue, batteries.
Yeah.
And once you open the plastic case, it's open, so they're totally rolling around.
Yeah.
So they're saying that a 9-volt battery, widespread circulation of videos about fires caused in this manner has created the false impression such fires are common or on the rise, but that doesn't appear to be the case. According to the most recent statistics cited by the National Fire Prevention Association, 9-volt batteries are not one of the 10 most common causes for house fires.
They're not. All right.
Cooking, heating, lighting equipment, top the list. With arson, smoking materials, washers and dryers, they say the lint in your dryer.
Oh, yeah, right. I know that.
Candles, playing with a heat source, round out the rest. They advise specific handling, the NFPA, and disposal protocols be adhered when storing or discarding 9-volt batteries in order to minimize the possibility of their igniting and causing fires, which they can do, but in rare conditions.
Thank you, Smokey the Bear, for those fun facts.
I'm taking a bite out of crime.
That's McGruff.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, how embarrassing. I hope Ryan Berno didn't hear you say that. How embarrassing.
We should take a break.
All right. A quick break. Some news is next. And then Haley Reinhart. Boy, can she sing. She'll be in studio with us in a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I really am dying to sing along, but I don't want to ruin the mellifluous tones of one Haley Reinhart. Oh, you're so good.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me back, you guys.
Nice to have you back. And we told you this last time, Haley, but I just want to reiterate it. What's great about you is you're not only a great singer, but you take songs from other eras and you make them your own. You're so good at that.
Thank you. I really appreciate the 60s and a whole lot of different genres, but particularly the whole movement of the 60s.
How come? What's going on in the 60s that appeals to you?
Well, I brought my parents here. Folks are here, and they've you know, lived through it, and they're playing. They play that stuff with their band, so I grew up with it, and I've always just kind of lived vicariously through them and the whole style.
It's supposed to be the other way around. You know that, right? It's supposed to be, but it's working for you.
All right, so your dad, Harry, is here. Hi, Harry.
Hi.
And hi, Patty. Can I just tell you, and I don't know if you remember this last time you were up, Haley, but we have my 18-year-old son, Michael, plays guitar, harmonica, loves all the 60s and 70s stuff as well. So we have a PA system in the basement, and sometimes mom and son sing together, and Bill says that that is the lamest thing ever.
One of the lamest things.
Okay,
ever.
Look at what Haley's doing,
so
singing
lucky.
With her parents.
Right, right.
It's lame until you try it.
Then it's okay.
No.
Then it's okay.
No,
I always
it's
felt like you've seen the Partridge Family at some point, right?
Yeah.
I always think, wouldn't it be amazing? You got a rock band, but oh, look who's in your band—your mom. That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, in the
parking lot. Oh, really?
Yeah.
With the flowers and daisies.
Yeah, yeah. We once got on the radio for doing a Beatle tune for, what was it, Breakfast with the Beatles? Mm. And they called.
With Terry
they were
Hammer?
Like, this is like the. Yeah, they told us this is like Partridge Family Jr.
Oh, think for yourself.
Yeah, think for yourself.
Harry, we asked Haley last time why she's so good at it, and she said, because my parents were so good at it, and she was really so kind about both of you. So.
She is kind.
Yeah.
Too kind.
Sweet. You guys have been doing it forever, so their band Midnight's 40 years and going, so it's been
Midnight.
Fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
how long?
You, oh, go on, when?
40 years?
38, yeah.
Yeah. 30, you got to talk right into that microphone.
Oh, yeah,
sorry, we're a little low on mic.
38 years. That's amazing. So as a little girl, you were exposed to it very early on. You'd be going to these shows, watching your parents, and fell in love with it.
Yep, as a baby. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been really cool.
Would you go up on stage as a little girl? You would? Yeah,
yeah, they'd get me up, I mean, really young to sing little.
International Tattoo Fest was our first big performance.
I was like nine. It was my 9th birthday, which is tomorrow.
Oh,
I mean,
happy birthday.
I'm not 9 tomorrow, but
you're certainly not.
Let's go back in time.
What was the song you did at 9 years old at the Tattoo Fest?
I actually sang Blue from Leon Rimes because I told them I could yodel, and they first thought I was kidding, and then I told them I could, so they made me do it.
Nice.
And I still do.
That's nice.
All the machines stopped.
The tattoo machine.
Right, because they were mesmerized by this.
I tried
2,000 people.
It was good, though. It was a good crack.
See, a lot of parents would be afraid if their child came to them and said, I want to go into music, I think that's my career, they'd be so petrified. But you have lived this, Harry. You know, it's a viable
it's a terrible
way.
Business.
We love it.
You love it.
It's in our blood.
It is, is a terrible business in a way to make a career of it. Do you have a backup plan? I'm not saying you need one, but it's hard. We're just hearing somebody talk about you can't make money selling records anymore because of all the downloads.
Streaming.
You have to tour.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many other ways and outlets that we have to find as ourselves as artists. But also, I do agree, it's good to plant a lot of seeds. So I do voiceover acting. I'm in the show F is for Family, our third season. It's about Bill Burr, the comedian, and his life. Growing up in the 70s, I play him as a little boy.
Oh, that's so
I am a 9-year-old boy for life.
they almost always get the woman to play a boy. Is that because their voice won't change?
I think that's the reason.
I think so, yeah.
Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. It's really fun. Not really appropriate for kids, but check it out. It's a Netflix original.
It's so funny because having seen Bill perform, you would not be the first person I'd think of when I think who'd be a younger version of him.
You're not supposed to look at the way she looks.
No, I guess not. I guess that's breaking the fourth wall, isn't it? I guess so.
Yeah. I think the Chicago accent helped a little bit, too. I'm not going to lie.
I think
they wanted a little edge, you know?
I bet it did.
Yeah. All right, so you are going to be performing. You're busy as heck. You really are. I know you're going to be at the Sox game. That's tonight. National Anthem.
Uh-huh.
With mom
o'clock.
And dad?
Yeah, they're coming. They'll be on the floor with me out in the field.
Does this song make you nervous at all? Because some people, not you, but some people have missed a lyric or two.
Sure. I mean, it's extremely, nerve-wracking, but at the same time, I've done it quite a bit, and I just like to, feel comfortable, especially my hometown, the White Sox, is my team.
Yes, me too.
So as much as it could be a little, some pressure, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's
going
to
be fun.
And they say that, not to put the pressure on again, but that's one of the hardest songs to sing, but, like someone throwing out a first pitch, they practice.
Right.
You've practiced this. You're ready to roll.
Yeah. I just did it recently for this Robbie Krieger gig for St. Jude's. And that was, with a bunch of rock and rollers. So I think I've broken the ice.
Nice.
Quite recently, so that's good.
Just saw Robbie Krieger put on a great show.
Did you?
Yeah, at the Arcata Theater. I love going to shows. Do you go to shows with your family? Because, again, my sons go to concerts with me, Bill.
Yeah. Can you guys come to mine, please?
And where are you going to? You're at Shuba's?
I'll be at Lincoln Hall.
Okay.
Again, so I was there last year, and I'll be there on November 5th. And, my tour kicks off in
this
October
is a Sunday,
to November. Yes.
Right. I will be
Hall.
In church, but I will
you
try my
liar.
Best.
You are a liar.
I'm coming out. If you want me there, I'll be there.
Don't worry. It's a night time
All right.
gig.
What, do you go to 6 o'clock mass?
Yeah.
8 o'clock mass?
Guitar mass.
Oh.
All right. Can we add, there's a couple songs we would love to hear from you. Are you good with that? What do you want to do?
Yeah. Let's... We'd love to. So my record is coming out on the 22nd of September, and I've released like a single a month, and so now I have 3 out. There's one of which is The Letter from the Box Tops, and we're just trying to pay tribute, bring back the 60s, give it our own little flavor. So this
Outstanding.
Is The Letter.
All right, here's Haley Reinhart with The Letter.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby, you wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby, you wrote me a letter. sister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once or more? Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an airplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. But baby, he wrote me a letter. Well, he wrote me a letter, said he couldn't live without me no more. Well, listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more? My baby, he wrote me a letter. I said, my baby, he wrote me a letter. Oh, 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 oh,
maybe my family doesn't sing as good as
not like
the
that. No, not,
do.
Not exactly right. Like that. No, no. Wow. You can, I don't know what it means, but you can bring it. But I've heard people say that, and it's been brought. It's here now. Haley Reinhardt's here. Her mom and dad are here, too. I hope you're listening with your mom and dad and enjoying it. We'll be back with more next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. The new record is called what?
What's That Sound?
All right. That's perfect.
Question mark.
We've got Haley Reinhardt in the studio, singer, songwriter, from Wheeling, Illinois. She is going to be singing the national anthem at the White Sox game versus the Giants tonight. You'll kick ass there. And
they might let you pitch.
Hey, I'm down. I
they
did
might
softball
put you
in high school.
You did you? Know. All right. Throw the seventh or eighth innings.
You're going to be at Lincoln Hall November 5th, which is a Sunday.
Yes.
I got to make plans to go see you.
Come
you
just, on.
And then the new record, For What It's Worth, comes out when?
What's That Sound will be out on September 22nd.
It's What's That
quick.
Sound?
Yeah.
But you can get singles. You've been releasing singles the last couple
yep.
of weeks.
Yeah, I released For What It's Worth, The Letter, Baby It's You from Smith, mm-hmm. like that kind of version. And I'll probably be putting out an original before the record releases.
All right, here's a difficult question to answer, but mm-hmm. I'll ask it anyway. We've been trying to figure this out. Ryan Seacrest.
What about him?
Yeah, we can't figure it out either.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
No, he's a nice guy.
But he's made some deal with Satan, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He's the busiest man on earth. I don't know if Satan really would have helped
right.
him there.
Just curious.
He's very popular and, you know, whatever. Why yeah. do you bring up Ryan Seacrest?
We were just wondering because Wendy's son is in a high school radio class yeah. and they played a clip of Ryan Seacrest and all the kids knew who it was, but the adults had no idea who it was.
Really?
We knew Larry Lujack, Wolfman Jack,
sure.
but yeah. kids today know Ryan Seacrest
right.
and it
He's
made me want to vomit.
To the spot. Yeah.
But he was always nice to you.
He was always nice
okay.
to me, for sure.
Then I like him. Then
yeah.
He's fine.
All right. Yeah. It's coming back to TV, too. It's
yep. yep.
Wild.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
I think he's in the green room.
He'll
be on with us next.
Right. There's more than one of them, right? There's like a dozen of them.
I think they've cloned him at this point. He's everywhere.
All right. Your mom and dad are here as well. Harry Reinhardt, Patty Reinhardt. Their band is called Midnight. You guys still play out and about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got to come see you guys, too.
You should. They're rocking.
Do your grandparents have a band we can come and see, Haley? We'd like to see them in a band.
They were very musical as well.
Were they, too?
Mom, grandma played ragtime piano. Grandpa
really?
Could both sing, yeah.
That's excellent.
Do you remember that Christmas thing, the Jingle Cats? Those cats belong to the Reinhardts.
What?
it's a talented
no.
family.
I'm allergic to them, but
oh, okay.
I have them.
And
know.
Her sister sings.
Oh, yeah, she does, too?
Beautiful singer.
That's outstanding.
Music. Yeah.
Everybody in the family, there's no member of your family that doesn't have the ability.
No,
everybody's,
I guess not. No,
wow.
not really. not, in this, not in our small family.
That's great.
All right, yeah. Revisiting the classic rock tunes and the old-time tunes to me is important because that's where it all came from.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this album is all about. What song are you going to do for us right now?
Totally. We want to bring back all these important messages that they're sending out too. And this one is from Blind Faith, Can't Find My Way Home.
what's wrong and leave your body alone. Somebody must change. You are the reason I've been waiting so long. Somebody holds a key. Well, I'm near the edge and I just ain't got the time. Oh, and I'm wasted and I can't find my way
covered in goosebumps.
Amazing.
Steve
amazing.
Winwood sings like an angel, and you may have topped that.
Oh,
my God. Blind Faith. Steve Winwood, Clapton, Ginger Baker, what a super group. They don't need, you don't need them. You don't. She's much. Haley Reinhardt, and boy.
If I could sing like you, I would never talk. I would just sing everything all day long.
We need you.
No matter what.
You're so sweet.
Thank all right.
So good.
So run down your schedule again. You're going to be singing the national anthem at the White Sox game tonight.
Tonight. I'll be at Windy City in a bit as well. We're going to be interviewing or judging actually on a panel, Chicago Talent, and then the winner of it actually gets to try out for American Idol this season.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Ryan Severini's not singing, is he?
We'll see. I don't
know. Don't let that happen.
If he decides to take over. No, we're going to have so much fun, though. And then I'll be back on tour. It kicks off in October. If you guys check out my website, HaleyReinhardt.com, I got all the different cities if you're somewhere else, but Chicago, November 5th.
Come back anytime. Harry, great to meet you. Patty, great to meet you. I know how proud you are. I could see it in your eyes. She's just knocking it out of the park. So
thank you guys so much.
Parents are pretty good, too.
You guys
are bad. Some nice guitar playing over there.
And your mom, watching your mom, like, when you went for the high notes, my mom was like, oh, don't even try the high note. You're not going to hit the high note. But your mom knew you were going to hit the high note every time.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
She's Haley Reinhardt. She's awesome. We're so proud to have you.
Thank you, guys.
Take
great
care.
To be here.
We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Sorry, Bill. I'm still getting
what's
over
wrong?
Haley. I turned your mic on when you were clearing your throat. Oh. That's what I'm sorry about.
Ooh, it's loud.
Yep. Kurt Wagner's here from TV show Patrol.com. flaunting his new body. He's lost some weight. That's all he wants to talk about. We wanted to talk to you about TV, but you're like, no, I'm not even bringing it up. Buff now. I don't have time to talk about TV anymore. Kurt has a website called TVshowpatrol.com where he gives you exercise tips and you can read about TV. Kurt, a couple of things. Number one,
my exercise tips are to sit on the couch and watch TV.
Watch TV. That's the best thing for you. The Veep over on HBO, Veep, is coming to a close. This is going to be the last season of Veep. One more season.
Next year.
And then they're done, right?
Right.
That's too bad. Is there a reason? It seems to be...
Because the comedy is in real life now.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're just, you know, it's what...
She has
seven
said,
or
Julia
Louis
Dreyfus, though, has said, when we started this, it was a preposterous look at the White House, a parallel universe where anything could happen, and now it's gotten to be... it's too real.
It is the White House.
Yeah.
I'm blaming her, then. It's her
fault. Is it Julia Louis Dreyfus's fault for what's
going on?
She made
it happen.
In the office. But I, on the other hand, I always admire a show that realizes that we're at our best right now. Let's leave them wanting more and not run it into the ground, right? So that's not a bad thing.
Right. I think, you know, it'll be seven or eight seasons. I can't remember which. But I think that's a good run. I think that's
Kurt
a good
Kurt gets
run.
Emotional whenever a show goes off the air. He starts to cry. On the other side, Curb Your Enthusiasm, which hasn't been on the air for about 7 years, they've got a new season coming up.
Yes, they do.
I can't wait for that.
I can't wait either. It's going to be great.
He has the best deal ever with HBO in that he can just decide, oh, I think it's time to do some more episodes. You know,
the cast always says, because we've talked to Jeff Garlin about this, that whenever they leave at the end of a season, they all say goodbye, but they all go, maybe we'll see each other again. Maybe we won't. We have no idea when and where. It's up to Larry David.
Right.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. It's his baby.
I mean, it's not necessarily great for the fans, but I think that absence, what is the saying?
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. Or out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, that's the other one to worry about. Yeah.
Yeah, and how long has it been?
I think 6 years or 7 years since the last episodes.
But again, here going back to the Julia Louis-Dreyfus, leave them wanting more, and then in 6 or 8 years, if it was so good, people are going to want more.
True.
Right, and once it's announced again, you know, everybody gets all excited again. But I think that kind of show, don't you feel that's a bit of a, you know, you got to have more experiences. I mean, I think that everything that's happened to him or that he's witnessed in the last 6 years is somehow, or a lot of it's going to show up in the new season.
I would imagine.
You know, and because it's that kind of a show, I think.
Yeah.
He is such a jerk in real life. I mean, not in real life.
On the show, he's a jerk.
But he makes it, yes.
Right, right.
But I hear he's super nice.
Yeah, you know, it would be funny if that's everything that he actually wants to say to people in real life.
Oh, there's some truth in it behind everything.
I mean, I know I would have a lot of
Do we know, are there
comedy.
Any major changes to the cast or anything about the show?
I haven't really heard a whole lot about it except for seeing his promo, which was him.
Yeah.
You know, just
the one with the bat signal.
Yeah,
it's very funny. Yeah.
I can't wait.
All right, everybody's talking about Game of Thrones. Now, I've never seen it and Wendy's never seen it, so don't tell us anything that'll make us either not want to see it or no spoiler alerts. But
is it finished forever?
No.
Okay.
One more season on
one
that,
one more
right?
season, maybe seven or eight episodes. Supersized like they were this year, and it could be next year or it could be later because now they're saying it might take longer to finish.
There will be at some point there will be a spin-off of Game of Thrones because they don't want the franchise
right.
Well,
they talked about several. They talked about doing prequels and doing, you know, parallel things happening in different parts of Westeros where everything happens with different characters. So it could be a lot of different things. I have a theory, though, because they showed a lot of flashbacks this past season of something that affects what happens now. Mm-hmm. So they have these actors playing younger versions of people who had been in this series. And I think that one of those, that story of the Targaryens, who were the dragon riders, that their earlier history will be.
I didn't
One
know there were
those.
Dragon riders. I will watch it.
Yeah, there's dragons. Like dragon Somebody's got to ride them.
No, that's true, I guess.
Twin Peaks is something that I was telling you off the air. I went back to rewatch it on Netflix. Loved it when I first saw it. Loved it again. Watched the new one. I don't know what I've seen. I've been intrigued by it. Is it finished? Was that a season finale?
I've seen that a lot of reaction series. Has been that.
It's just way out there.
It was
there.
Great, but I don't know what it meant. you know, that kind of thing.
They wrapped up some things and then other things. Eddie Vedder was on it, so that was cool.
Eddie Vedder was on it?
It was a musical cavalcade.
He played at the Roadhouse, yes. It was pretty.
Oh, wow.
Edward Severson, which is his real name. And then you look up on stage and there's Eddie Vedder singing.
But I don't know if it's coming back. I think that might be a thing that Showtime and David Lynch work out if they feel it was a success.
It's up to Larry David, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up to Larry David.
Everything's
right.
Up to Larry David.
Sure.
We've discussed this with you in the past. A lot of times with television shows, as they get to a season finale, they have no idea whether or not they'll be picked up. So they're kind of vague and ambiguous about what exactly is
happening.
That's
what this was.
That's how Twin Peaks was. But they're always vague and ambiguous, aren't they? On every episode.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess that was.
Well, and it's always interesting because I sometimes feel like they leave it that way so that if it wasn't very successful, they can say, oh, it was just a miniseries.
But it kind
it was just a limited series.
It kind of wrapped up, but there kind of could be more. So it really could be either way.
Yeah.
I love David Lynch.
And
so
that also might be one of those cases like Larry David where, you know, he says, oh, I'm busy with these other things and maybe I'll do it.
When I get around to it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll come up with something that I want to.
You know what they should do? And maybe you could do this on your website. Maybe this is an idea for
TVShowPatrol.com.
Yeah. When a show ends abruptly and there's still loose missing ends, the creators of the show or writers of the show should write a couple of paragraphs about what happens to the characters that you didn't get to see and how their stories end out.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think so.
That's a business venture for you. Try and do that.
It is.
All right.
Make some graphic novels or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know I am one of five people that watch this, and I get texts from four others when I mention this. But
Two Broke Girls?
No. I actually watched that for a while, too. I don't know why, but I did. It was always on.
Yeah.
Big Brother. I love it. I love Julie Chen's outfits. She's spectacular. This has been a particularly great season because there are some really bad people in here that usually you find some kind of likable quality in a few of them. There have been a couple people that I hate. And this has been a spectacular season. It's not over yet, but there's some Big Brother news
in
the news.
Yes, they have announced the first all celebrity edition of Big Brother for this coming winter.
Like
I
real
bet
celebrities.
All A-listers. I bet they
well,
are.
Well, they didn't announce who
Kathy
they were.
Kathy Griffin.
They didn't announce who they were, but I bet it'll be a mix of reality show folks.
Yeah.
And it'll
former
be sort
athletes.
Of like. Like, yeah, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
how Dancing
yeah, yeah.
with the Stars always says celebrities. Yeah. Or it's old. You know, I was a kid celebrity, and now I'm an adult.
Right.
Danny Bonaducci.
You know.
Yeah.
He'd be great. Kathy Griffin has showed up on the show this was pre-Donald.
What does
Donald
she do
Trump.
On the show?
She'll just come on and, like, you know, hi, house guests. They let celebrity people enter the house every once in a while to break the monotony.
Oh.
And they're on, like, day 73.
Do they, like, offer the challenge of the day or something?
Yes.
Like,
they're either in charge of the veto competition or something. Bobby Moynihan was just on the last episode because CBS is promoting Me, Myself, and I.
CBS is really good at that cross-pollination.
They are, but... Bobby Moynihan, you know, knew some of the characters and what they were known for. He seems to be a big fan and has watched it. Mm. He could have been fed the lines, but he really did seem like a big fan of the show. And then he was in charge of had a household competition, and whoever won got to will have a small role on Me, Myself, and I. So it's really good cross promotion.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So Bobby Moynihan, Kathy Griffin, Danny Bonaducci, because he's got time.
You know, it says Julie Chen will host this one too, but I would love it if they somehow tricked her and said, just
you're
shoved her into the house and locked the door.
Oh, that's genius.
I know. I would think that would be so hilarious.
Now, Kurt, what Wendy just said
she probably would not have all those good outfits now.
Oh, right,
she's
true.
A snappy dresser.
What Wendy just said about there's some people on there that I just hate, she's fallen into a trap. They purposely put people on there that you hate.
Well,
no,
but like she said, there's usually somebody you can get behind in this season.
Not this time?
Apparently there isn't.
There
I
was a couple.
It.
They call it a showmance. And here's my little theory. This honestly is, I can't remember how many house guests start in the thing, 12, I think, or something. And your deal is to stay there till the end to win $500,000. So you have to have a social game. You have to have a way to kind of maybe team up with somebody, but keep it quiet. These dumb little people get involved in a showmance, okay? So they start dating someone that they've just met. And so now there are two people. So they're never going to get to the end because people want to break you up.
Right.
So here's my little thought to everyone. If you're going to, you know, get involved with someone under the sheets in Big Brother, do it behind closed doors. Do it secretively.
Aren't there cameras in every room?
Yeah, but the audience knows, but then the people in the house wouldn't know. You got to keep it a secret, because if you're just sitting there with your arms around each other and everything, you've made yourself a huge target.
But part of that also is, isn't that in a voting alliance with your partner?
Yeah, but that's why you want a secret partner.
Oh, okay.
Like Bill and I, would, if we were on it, would act like we didn't like each other. But then secretly, we'd have something going on where, you know, oh my God, they're fighting like cats and dogs.
Don't they all share rooms, though? So it would be hard
to... There's three, four, five different rooms. There's little...
It'd be hard to...
Storage room they can go in to get food.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. Again, the viewers would see it, but people in the house...
But not the people in the house. All right.
That's just my tip, and I, you know,
that's a very valuable tip.
I might one of these days. There was a DJ girl on there from Texas. She was part of some Mickey and the Moose show, or so I don't know who it was. But
I'm gonna submit your name for the celebrity.
Kurt, please
edition.
Do that.
I would cry day one because I would miss my family.
Oh,
I would suck at it.
Oh.
Right. $500,000.
Want to get voted off, right?
No one would like me. Although you'd see a very nice Wendy on TV.
I bet there would be a very nice version of Wendy.
And she would be scolding people. No showmances this season.
No showmances. Kurt Wagner's here. He's the guy behind TVshowpatrol.com, you know. We'll take a quick break and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. You spend a lot of time talking about your back door on the radio, Wendy. I'm uncomfortable.
No, usually I talk about my front door.
I'm very uncomfortable.
No.
Either way.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Kurt Wagner's here. He's got a website. Everyone does, but Kurt's is great. It's about TV. It's called TVshowpatrol.com. Battlestar Galactica, big Battlestar Galactica news, Kurt.
Oh, that's Buck Rogers.
That's Buck Rogers.
It is Sci-Fi's 25th anniversary this year.
The Sci-Fi Channel.
Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Not science fiction in general.
Spelled dumb.
You don't like
it's SYFY. I don't like it.
They used to spell it like sci-fi.
That's what I like.
Version of science fiction, but then they couldn't brand it everywhere because people would be confused.
Right.
You know,
right.
What are you talking about? Uh-huh. Sci-fi the genre or sci-fi the show?
The channel.
The channel, yeah. So anyway, Battlestar Galactica, arguably their most recognized show ever, you know, award-winning.
The remake of the first.
Of the original.
Right.
Of the 70s show,
yeah.
It's much more serious than that original 70s show.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to re-air all the seasons of it, all 76 episodes in order, beginning September 22nd.
There was a good Portlandia where someone loved Battlestar Galactica.
That's a famous Portlandia skit.
That's really good.
And they stayed. It was sort of about binging, and so they stayed in their house and
watched all the
and
episodes.
Missed all the stuff and like 5 days later or whatever they were.
Now in this is the version that had Edward James Olmos, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
As Captain Adama.
Yeah.
Not or Commander.
Not Lorne.
Are you proud
Green?
Of yourself? You just kind of sat back like, I knew that.
I've never seen an episode of it, but I don't know why, because it looks
it's
like real,
it's
I would
very
love.
Good and it's
are there Cylon warriors?
There are Cylons.
Yeah.
There are the robot Cylons and the human Cylon, the human looking Cylons.
Oh, I didn't know they had two brands of Cylons.
Yeah, that was part
two
of
two brands of Cylons, yeah. Wendy. No way.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, and it was always so good because it sort of reflected some of the political climate of current times, even though it's set in the future.
Yeah.
I got to ask you a texter's question because this person has been texting for like the last few weeks. What's up with Longmire? Will it be back for a sixth season? Thank
you,
Kurt.
There's one more season, but I'm not sure when.
When does Power come back?
Probably next summer. It's usually a summer show on
Power's a TV show,
Stars,
or somebody just
or
without
next
any
spring.
Electricity.
You have an A battery you can give
us. I do. If somebody needs an A battery, please contact me. I have it.
No, it's a star show.
A bunch of stuff coming this week and this weekend. Most notably, is Fear the Walking Dead coming back this weekend?
Yes.
It is?
I suppose I should catch up.
Sunday's a big day of TV. The new season of Outlander, which is a huge Stars thing that people are going crazy about, a big romance, time-traveling romance.
That's always fun.
For people not in the studio, Kurt just made the strangest face I've ever seen. Why did you make that face to go along with
that? It adds to the mystique of a romance when you can time travel. And if the date goes badly, you can go back and do it again.
Yeah. But Kurt made one of his eyebrows go up and down and the other one went sideways.
It was kind of weird. The human emoji.
I've never
seen anyone
do that before.
Top of the Lake, China Girl, which is the sequel to the original Top of the Lake, stars... what's her name from The Handmaid's Tale?
Is it Elizabeth Moss?
Yes, Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing a sequel. The first one was really good.
Yeah, this one's really good too. I've seen and Nicole Kidman's in it too. She co-stars in it this season.
Oh, that's why there was some discussion yesterday because Elizabeth Moss is big into Scientology and Nicole Kidman used to be but isn't. So the two of them, I guess, don't get along personally, but professionally they did for this show.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Good.
Yeah. So that's Sunday. Also, the premiere of the Orville.
What's Orville?
Which is sort of a
popcorn for all my friends.
Comedy version of Star Trek, and it's from Seth MacFarlane, and he stars in it as himself. It's not an animated thing.
Yeah.
And he's given the Orville, which is a spaceship. He becomes the captain of it, and he's paired with his first officer as his ex-wife.
Oh, that sounds funny.
And so there's fighting. And it's sort of hit or miss with the comedy. Some of it's really a little too goofy.
Yeah.
And some of it's just right on.
Yeah.
But it's set in space. It's sort of a Star Trek comedy.
And where can people see this?
Fox.
On Fox.
Yeah, and they're having an early preview. So it's like the series premiere part one. And I think they're doing it because they can capitalize on football. Mm-hmm. The football crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all coming up Sunday. But before we, one thing I want to talk about is this Alias Grace.
What is
show
Alias
that's
super
coming
quick
to Netflix? It's a new Margaret Atwood adaptation, just like The Handmaid's Tale. It's coming to Netflix November 3rd. They released the official trailer today, and it's awesome. It looks so good. I posted a story, and it's on the site, but. Yeah, just go and watch it. It's so creepy and scary.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
As creepy as the face you made a few minutes ago where one eyebrow went
that
up and down and the other
one.
That
was supposed to be a comedic face.
It worked. It worked. Kurt Wagner, everybody, from TVShowPatrol.com. Visit it. It's on your internet. Thank you, Kurt.
Yes.
Nice to see you. A quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next on the Wintrust Business Launch. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.